Robert.
Hey.
How's it going? How's it going, man? Good.
Doing pretty well.
Done with that final?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do?
Yeah, just finished a little bit ago.
How'd you do?
We did pretty well. You know, it's a busy period.
Yeah. When are you out of school?
I get done on Thursday.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. I've been out for a week and a half now.
Oh, I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I'm at Arizona State, so we got out on December 2nd, and then we don't go back till January 9th.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we get a month.
I get out on Thursday, and then I have about a month, so
nice.
Should be good.
And I get out of school for the year on before May, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm a fan of it. All right, so were you able to watch the Villarreal game?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, I was on my way home. I was in Michigan last week, so I wasn't able to catch. I was monitoring it though, and
yeah,
I saw the second goal they scored, the one where Oblak got hurt. Such a weird fucking man. It didn't even look like he hurt himself badly. He just fell on his shoulder weird. And now he's out until April.
God, no, dislocated shoulders are so weird.
Yeah, it didn't look like much, but he dislocated his shoulder. That's why they scored the goal, because he couldn't move.
Right. Now, you know, that makes a big difference, I guess, for making saves and whatnot.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard that it does. If you stand still, you can't really make a save. It's what I've heard. I can't confirm, though. But from what I was reading, from the stats I looked at, they did nothing. There was no intensity. There was no... They didn't do shit, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was probably... Not as awful. It wasn't a 3-0, I don't think.
Like, I thought they were going to lose, because they never do well at El Madrigal, and Villarreal are really good, but their performance was just so bad.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of not playing well and Villarreal having a really, really good defense, so.
And some fortuitous finishing, especially on that second goal.
Yeah, well, yeah, the mistake. A lot of mistakes. Thiago
made that back pass that was... What did they do on the third goal?
Yeah, to Alex Pato as well. One of them was...
What did they do on the third goal? I think Soriano scored it.
Oh, God. I don't remember. I'm going to have to watch
that's
it back.
You're repressing it. That's good.
Live by that point.
You're repressing the memory. That's very good. Actually, I'm gonna try to catch these highlights real quick. It'll just take me a couple minutes.
It was particularly hilarious because after the second goal, they played "Highway to Hell" by AC/DC, which was pretty appropriate. So,
yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Okay, I got like a 5-minute highlight package here. I probably should have done this earlier, but I was busy today, so I couldn't really do it. I know. Koke hit the post, and that was about all the Atletico did.
Uh-huh. They had more shots than them, but, you know.
Like, not very good shots.
No, yeah, most of them were blocked.
Yeah, they had like half their shots were blocked, I think.
Yep.
Not great. So, Oblak's out now. Thiago's out. I don't think we're going to see Thiago for a while after what he did.
Yeah, not exactly a bad thing. I mean, we've been harping on about it for weeks now. So.
Like, I feel like this podcast is just going to be rehashing some of,
yeah.
You know, what we've been talking about is that they don't know who the fuck they are anymore.
Yeah, and Thiago he's old, and it didn't work with him and Gabby together.
He's old, and he played two good games, and Simeone chose to run with him again, even though he played two good games.
I mean, he's just like the easy fallback option, so.
Yeah. Well, now he's out, so I guess Saul's going to play. He might move Koke back to the middle after that, honestly, so he can play Saul on the wing instead.
Yeah, exactly, so. Yeah. Throw another central midfielder on the wing. Why not?
Yeah, really.
That's been working.
You got any writing planned this week? Next week?
Yeah, after I'm done with finals tomorrow, I'll have a lot more time. I've just been sort of in the trenches with it, but, you know, when things are going bad, it's easier to write more.
Yeah, I hear ya.
As sad as that is.
Yeah, Robbie and I both had columns yesterday.
Yeah.
I couldn't publish. He published his first, so he got all the play, but I couldn't publish mine until I got back to Phoenix.
Well, we'll have some... I mean, at least the Champions League draw was kind.
But yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the Champions League draw, of course. We got a lot to talk about. The stadium name, the badge. Yeah. God, everyone is up in arms about the badge. My God.
What
do you think of the badge?
Interesting. I mean, I'm not horrified by it, but I can see why people are upset about it. I didn't really think there was anything wrong with the old one.
I didn't either. Like, it's okay. It's not great. It's okay.
And it's not like this is a massive improvement, really.
No.
I'm not a huge fan of the blue tree, the all-blue tree.
And the bear looking like the tree is going to cave in on him.
Yeah, I don't know. It just looks a bit weird, but you'll get used to it like anything.
Yeah.
The stadium, so are we going to go for Wanda or Municipal?
I'm going to call it, I'm just going to call it a stadium called Wanda.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, the Wanda Metropolitano, I'm just going to call it a stadium called Wanda.
All right, sounds good to me.
That's pretty much where I'm at with that.
God, the Wanda.
Yeah, that third goal was just some really, really bad defending.
Yeah, I think
the Soriano just cut right through them. God, that was awful. All right, so the agenda real quick. Atletico in crisis, what's your definition of crisis? The Champions League being like the panacea, I guess, at this point. They got to find belief, but they can still make the top four. So they're in kind of a weird place. People are declaring, oh, it's a crisis, and I don't quite see it that way.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Like, it's we're not talking about they're in a relegation fight. You know, we're not talking about that. Like Dortmund was 2 years ago. I mean, this is pretty similar to what Dortmund were going through 2 years ago, where Simeone his influence is waning, I think, like Klopp's was. After a certain amount of time, you just need to have change. It happens.
Yeah. And they're nowhere near as bad as off as Dortmund were, because they were down in the cellar.
Yeah, Dortmund were in the relegation zone, and Dortmund just had a lot of bad luck. Atletico aren't making their own luck. They're just not playing well at all.
Yeah. They can at least get in the Champions League. Dortmund didn't even, or did they qualify for the Europa?
They got
League
into Europa.
Yeah.
They ended up finishing seventh that year because they didn't lose after the new year.
Yeah, that's right.
Then Klopp still left. What else was there? Oh, and of course, there was a report in Argentina today that Atletico are looking for a River Plate's manager to replace Simeone. So that's going great.
That'll be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, Gallardo is his name. He's actually a pretty good coach. Another.
I saw they lost the Boca Juniors this weekend, so
they
don't know what that means.
used to play for Argentina, like Cholo. Made over 100 appearances for a few different teams in his career, like kind of a similar profile to Simeone. So it's interesting. All right, you want to get started?
Sure, let's do it.
Coming up on Colchonero Chat, Atletico Madrid thrashed again on Monday, this time at the hands of Villarreal at El Madrigal. Full analysis of that and everything else wrong with Atletico after this. Greetings! This is Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron, back after a short vacation, in case you missed it. That's why we've been a little quiet the last week. I was on vacation visiting some family in colder weather, but back now in balmy Phoenix. It's 70 degrees here. It was back where I was, it was 15 with wind chill.
Oh, we have about a foot of snow on the ground in Ohio, so.
That is the voice of Robert Walker, a staff writer at Into the Calderon, and my guest on this edition of the program. Foot of snow, huh?
Depression edition, yes.
Jeez, yeah. Make sure you're bundled up there.
Yeah, it's coming down heavy.
Yeah, that's no fun. We had about a foot of snow. I was in Michigan, and foot of snow there.
Woohoo!
Sunday.
It's pretty for a couple days.
It's much more romantic than it is to actually be in. It's better to look at than be in.
Yes, not fun to slog through.
No, because you got to walk through it, and then it gets dirty, then it turns to ice, then you can't do anything
with
it.
Dirty snow. Oh.
It's awesome.
So bad.
It's really great. So, back to football matters.
Yes.
On this edition of the program, we're going to talk about another debacle in which Atletico participated. They lost to Villarreal on Monday. plus a lot of other news surrounding the team, including the new stadium, the new badge, and lots of other stuff. So this is going to be a big ol' episode here. Before we get into all that, though, we have as usual, a La Liga whip around. 15 match days complete in Liga Santander this season. We start on Friday with Malaga 1, Granada 1. Granada no longer winless, but still stuck on one win. And the draw in Andalusia, Granada still in the drop zone. Malaga falling to 12th with their sixth draw of the season. On Saturday, Barcelona traveling to El Sadar and beating Osasuna 3-0. Barcelona maintained second place in the table. Osasuna now one win from 15 games. They've lost 10 of them. Seems a pretty sure bet that they're going to go down.
Yep.
Las Palmas 1, Leganés 1. That is the third draw in six games for Las Palmas, Atletico Madrid's next opponent. We'll talk about that a little later on. In Madrid at the Bernabeu, Real Madrid 3, Deportivo La Coruña 2. Another comeback win for the champions elect. On Sunday, Eibar 0, Alaves 0 in the early game. Celta Vigo hosting Sevilla. Sevilla running out 3-0 winners. A hat-trick from Vicente Iborra off the bench. Came out at halftime.
Yes. Second half hat-trick.
Really impressive for Iborra. Sevilla just a point behind Barcelona in third place. Espanyol continuing their unbeaten run. 2-1 win over Sporting Gijón, who are still in the drop zone on goal difference. Because of Valencia, yeah. Real Betis 1, Athletic Club 0. Big win for Real Betis, who are playing much better under new manager Victor Sanchez. Ruben Castro goal deciding that one. And finally, on Monday, Villarreal 3, Atletico Madrid 0. The game we are now going to zero in on, unfortunately.
Yeah.
This was
not fun.
The worst yet, really, Robert.
Yes, most definitely the worst loss. Even if the scoreline is somewhat deceptive, it was a pretty terrible performance overall from Atletico in a period where they needed to win, not just get results, but to win. And to go to El Madrigal and lose 3-0 just kind of shoots the confidence all to pieces. So.
I'm going to ask you point blank. All right, what's your definition of a crisis, and do Atletico meet this definition?
Well, I mean, they're in a relative crisis for the aspirations of the club. Obviously, they want to be challenging for the title, but that's not going to happen. And we've been pretty convinced that that wasn't going to happen for a while now. So,
yeah.
No, they're not in a crisis. They're not in the relegation zone. They're not in any fear of going down or even dropping out of the European places. And they have a good enough team to where they'll qualify for the Champions League, likely, by the end of the season.
You qualify that with the word likely and a big old asterisk.
Yes, well, European football, I'll say, just to be safe.
Yeah, European places. Remember, exactly. They're just 1 point off top four. They're in sixth place now. Despite this loss, just 1 point off top four, which is fourth place currently occupied by Villarreal. Seems right now unlikely that they will finish, that they'll sail into the top three. They are 5 points adrift of Sevilla in the third and final assured Champions League place. But, yeah, it's... I've seen a lot of people compare this to Borussia Dortmund's 2014-15 season. And while I understand that, I certainly see similarities, this is a bit different. Atleti are not in a relegation fight like that Dortmund team was for the majority of that season. That Dortmund team suffered from a lot of bad luck, and that reversed itself through the latter half of that season and into the following season. And this Atletico team aren't suffering from a run of bad luck. They're suffering from a run of bad football.
Yeah, I think the main comparison is with the manager, really, because you have a very inspirational figure like Klopp was at Dortmund, and Simeone obviously is at Atleti. So that's the main similarity there, but not with results.
Not with results, no. Atletico now under 50% win percentage in La Liga, just 7 wins from 15. They conceded 18 goals all of last season, 14 already this season, and still 23 games to go. Yay.
Yeah, so, the savage factor.
At El Madrigal, other than the scoreline, some pretty devastating news is Jan Oblak dislocated his shoulder. He will be out 3 to 4 months as he will be getting surgery on said shoulder. That is just a devastating blow. One of the best goalkeepers in Europe, done for half the season. on the balance of it, he's gonna be out half the season.
Right, and the backup is Moya, which isn't entirely convincing, and to lose your best goalkeeper probably for the Champions League round of 16 and potentially the quarterfinals is very dangerous.
I mean, Moya is a serviceable keeper. He played the majority of the 2014-15 season when Oblak hurt his hip in preseason. Simeone didn't play him even after he got fit. And then it was against Leverkusen in the last 16 where Moya got hurt early on. Oblak came on, kept the clean sheet, and Atletico moved on in the shootout. So kind of a role reversal here as Moya will take over for Oblak. And he's definitely serviceable. Not a world-class goalkeeper by any means, but he's serviceable. He needs a good defense in front of him, which is a problem right now for Atleti. They don't have a very good defense right now.
And he's a veteran, and he's been around for a while. So, you know, there are some X factors there that could make it decent, but it's absolutely not the ideal situation. It's pretty horrific for Oblak.
He's not Oblak.
Very sad.
And very, very sad for one of the best keepers on the continent. And he dislocated his shoulder while conceding the second goal, which was probably the least culpable we can hold at Atleti's defense. And the first goal was a very poorly placed Thiago back pass, a mistake from a guy who doesn't make very many of them. He was substituted immediately after that goal, after that bad back pass that led to the goal. Atleti said he was substituted due to knee pain. I believe he was substituted due to the headache he gave Diego Simeone after that back pass.
Yeah, the reason Thiago's in the team is to be that sort of veteran pair of safe hands,
and he wasn't.
Ruined his only positive, so that was great.
I don't think we'll be seeing Thiago for a while.
No.
The second goal was a pretty nice build-up move. I think Lucas got skinned a little bit ahead of the goal, but Oblak made the initial save, went down on his shoulder awkwardly. Didn't look too bad, but it was clear when he got up that it was pretty severe. Simeone said as much after the game, saying the Oblak injury hurts much more than the loss. He was correct. Villarreal got to the rebound, hammered it in, ahead 2-0. The game was pretty much over from there. Atleti never really threatened. And then Roberto Soriano put it away with very little resistance in added time to put some sheen on the final scoreline. So yeah, 3-0 the final there. It is the third loss out of four this season, which Atletico have been defeated by multiple goals. Three goal defeats in the Madrid derby and to Villarreal, and the 2-0 loss at Sociedad. So they're not just losing, they're losing convincingly.
Right, yeah. And I think the Oblak substitution hurt more than just losing the goalkeeper. It also prevented Simeone from making an attacking substitution later on in the game, which sort of stopped any chance of a comeback.
Yeah, and well, he didn't start Carrasco, which is mind-numbing. He's your leading goal scorer, and you said, hey, let's just put him on the bench. The tank is strong.
That was weird at the time. Everyone was very confused by that on Twitter, and it was just, and I mean, it's easy to see why. He's clearly been one of the best attacking players, if not the best, for Atleti this season.
Your best player this season. So, yeah, let's put him on the bench. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Totally makes sense.
Let's start Correa and Thiago and
Let's start Torres at center back next. Let's go crazy.
Yeah. Might as well.
Carrasco came on after the hour when the game was lost, and it was already lost, and predictably Carrasco didn't really do much as Villarreal kept things really tight, really compact. They have such a great defense, Villarreal. They've looked like they've gotten stronger under Fran Escriba than they were under Marcelino, and this is a seriously good side. I'm not surprised that Atletico lost, but I'm surprised that the kind of soulless performance that they put forth, it was awful.
Yeah, Villarreal, they do have the best defense in the division. They've only conceded 10, but still, I mean, we knew it was going to be a tough game, but to lose 3-0 is really, really, really sad, and just not to be able to register a goal or really even a clear-cut opportunity, it's pretty rough.
Koke hit the post when it was goalless, and Griezmann had a 1v1 with Sergio Asenjo after Villarreal scored, but Asenjo made the save, and that was all we saw from Griezmann. Speaking of Griezmann, now nearly 700 minutes without a goal in the league. I think it's 662 without a goal. That is longer than the drought he had when he first came to Atletico, when he really struggled until around Christmas. What's going on with Griezmann, do you think? Because I have, you know, it's I want to hear what you say first.
Well, I can't really understand. I mean, probably it is coming from some aspect of there not being enough service to him, because we know he's not just going to drop off in terms of not being a good player anymore. That's not going to happen. So it could be either the Gamero and him partnership isn't working, but it was working earlier in the season. But I think they may have something to do with the Thiago Gabby thing and Koke not being able to link up with him as much as we may like.
That's about where I was going to go with it. Griezmann is a guy who can create his own attacks, but he's not. You can't shoehorn him in as, you know, as a playmaker. He has to be able to have freedom to do more than that. And because of the more reductive tactics, which included the reentry of Thiago into the team, you're not seeing Griezmann coolly finish like we're so used to him seeing. There's a lot more responsibility there, and I think he's fatigued, honestly. He had a very busy 2016. He didn't get much of the summer off. He had to carry France on his shoulders to the Euros final. And
yep.
He's had a very, very busy year, and I think it has finally caught up with him. I don't buy this bunk that, oh, you know, he's too focused on going to Man United or PSG. No, that's crap.
No, yeah, that's ridiculous.
And the people who peddle that need to stop it, because it's not true. I think that Griezmann is fully focused, fully committed. It's just not working for him right now. I think he's tired. I think the reductive tactics are playing away from his hands rather than into them. And he's not linking up with Koke as much because Koke isn't playing in the middle.
Right. And the reason he's tired is he played all that time this summer, and now he's being forced to do a ton of work on counterattacks, and when they go forward quickly, he's running so much. He's must be absolutely shattered at the end of games,
like
they're playing.
He should have been the man to come off with 25 minutes to go, not Correa. Correa was playing fine, I thought. He had other than a petulant yellow card, which he usually gets.
Yeah, standard.
That was his fifth of the season. He's going to miss the game against Las Palmas this weekend. So that's swell. In addition to the vast amount of injuries. But Griezmann should have been the one to come off. Nothing was going for him, and Simeone still insists on playing him 90 minutes, even though he's knackered, he's not performing up to the standard we've seen from a guy who finished third in the Ballon d'Or voting.
Right, yeah, that happened this week as well. I mean, he may need a bit of time out of the firing line, but I don't think that's going to happen. Simeone's just going to keep putting him out there up front, making him chase after every hopeful long ball, and, you know, we'll see what happens, but it won't be good long term, I fear.
Griezmann should come off the bench this weekend against Las Palmas. That's what I think. I don't think he
Let's hope so.
I don't think he should be dropped. I think he shouldn't start, though. He hasn't played well. Barcelona have done this with Messi sometimes when Messi is coming off injury, or in games against lower level teams. Barcelona, Luis Enrique puts Messi on the bench and brings him on later in a tight game. Sometimes, you know, it usually works for Barcelona. Remember a game in particular last season at the Calderon when Messi came off the bench after an hour and scored the winning goal against Atletico.
After coming back from a lengthy period of injury, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, or I think his wife gave birth. Something like that.
Yeah, some long excursion.
I think that now Simeone has to rest Griezmann. I don't think there's a choice now. Bring him in off the bench. Don't drop him, because he's still too good a player to drop. But he needs to come off the bench.
Yeah, agreed.
The game against Las Palmas is not going to decide the league or anything. The league's already been decided. Madrid are going to win it. You have to take the approach that this guy hasn't scored in almost 700 minutes in La Liga. He's doing fine in the Champions League, like most of this team is, but in La Liga he's really struggling to find his way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a small part of what the whole team is going through. Just can't get anything going forward, and he's just part of that problem. So,
what do you think is the number one problem, though, facing Atletico right now?
Getting this team to work properly, and not just defensively, because we've seen that works, but going forward, they're just not doing enough. We saw it with the 0-0 draw against Espanyol, and now scoring nothing against Villarreal. It's just offensively, they look really bad and out of sorts at the moment. So they need to figure out the right combination of central midfielders and wingers that can get things going forward.
I think we've talked about the tactics for, what, 6 weeks now?
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. We can talk about the Gabby Thiago thing.
God, another Simeone move away from this more expansive style. I think a lot of it is down to belief, or the lack thereof. And the root of that lack of belief can be traced back to, again, what we've been talking about for a minute, is Atletico don't know who they are right now. Are they Cholismo? Are they this more expansive attacking side? They have straddled both identities this season, and that is dangerous. You're now seeing why that was dangerous. We have warned them on this podcast, on previous episodes of this podcast, which, by the way, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Make sure to listen to all new and archived episodes of Culture Neuro Chat. We've warned them on this very podcast to pick one identity and stick with it for better or worse. And Simeone just does not want to do that, and you're seeing the effects of it now.
Yeah, after the Real Sociedad and the Real Madrid losses, he just totally gave up on the expansive style that had been earlier in the season. I mean, we saw in the 4-2 game against Malaga, that was crazy, but, you know, it was fun, and they scored a bunch of goals. And, yeah, they conceded, and they looked a little bit rough at the back, but if you got it going forward, then that's good. And now we see the problem when you go too conservative. You can't score, and when it's going bad, it just gets worse.
La Liga has figured it out. La Liga's figured them out. This isn't 2013 anymore, Dorothy. La Liga has figured it out. When Atletico play that way, they can be shut down. And we have seen that the Sevilla loss changed everything. Atletico were unbeaten entering that game. Now you're looking at a team that has lost 5 times since then in all competitions.
Yeah, and the most recent Champions League game, the pointless game against Bayern, I mean, seriously, Atleti had, I think, 20 or 30% possession. They could barely get the ball at all and didn't hardly do anything going forward. And the two chances they did have were Carrasco,
who was
on the bench.
That game against Bayern was a little different. Yeah, we didn't address that. It was the 1-0 loss at Allianz Arena on Tuesday. That game, I think, is a little different. I think we should view that more in a vacuum because it was a rotated squad. Simeone actually did pretty much everything right in that game. Tactically, in terms of rotation, just was never going to be a classic. It was never going to be a very intense, great game. There was nothing on the line. And the only goal that in that game was a free kick, a really delicious free kick from Lewandowski.
That was the only goal in that game. They were awesome defensively in that game, Atleti were. And, I mean, it took that moment of brilliance from Lewandowski to break him down, and that was all they could muster. So,
yeah, Bayern had about 80% possession, and by the end of it, they were just like, nah, screw it, we're going to pass the ball around and just wait for it, and just look at our watches, tick, 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 just waiting for that clock to wind down to, you know, 90 minutes or whatever the added time was, I don't remember. But, yeah, that's Champions League Atleti. La Liga Atleti is an entirely different story. As we have seen consistently. Now, so the belief, it's not there right now, and it needs to get there somehow. It's got to get there because top four is still possible, despite the crisis klaxon that's sounding. Top four is still possible, just 1 point behind Villarreal, with 23 match days to go and a lot of home games in the second half. Think about the murderous run of fixtures Atletico have had to play. Aside from going to El Madrigal, they've already gone to Celta, Sevilla, Valencia, Sociedad, Barcelona. Where else have they gone? Did I mention Valencia? They went to Valencia.
Kind of a different prospect.
No, Mestalla is still a tough place to play. And,
definitely.
They've been to... And El Sadar, they went to Osasuna. They've been to some really tough grounds. And all of these after Champions League match days, pretty much.
Yeah,
contributes to the
schedule of games after those Champions League, those midweek games, has been really rough for Atleti. I mean, they've had some tough, tough games, so it's not surprising. I mean, you see it across Europe. Teams that are in Europe midweek struggle at the weekend. It just happens.
Especially when those teams have to go away that weekend. Real Madrid gets to play at home on those weekends, which is why they're still unbeaten. Atletico have to go away to some really difficult grounds. And those teams that they were visiting now come to the Calderon in 2017, which is a chance to pick up points and really, I think it's going to take 72 to 75 points to make top four. I think Atleti can still achieve that, unless everything completely falls off.
Yeah, I'm definitely optimistic about top four. I think it's most definitely possible. And, you know, they have to improve a lot, but they have the winter break after the second Guijuelo game and the Las Palmas game. They have a good break where Simeone needs to figure it out.
They have to go to Saudi Arabia. It's not really a break.
Well, at least they don't have to play in the league anymore until January. So
thank God. so you think that they have enough to crack 70 points and get into the top four with the talent they have at their disposal, but, you know, unless things really spiral, which, you know, you're talking about Atleti finishing 8th, 9th, 10th, going out early in both cup competitions, then you're facing some serious repercussions.
Yeah, and the head-to-head against Real Sociedad and Villarreal is tough now, so yeah, those are going to be really important games second half of the season.
Atleti have picked up 1 point out of 15 against the top five this season. They scored one goal, conceded 10.
Yes, and that 1 point was against Barcelona, right?
Yeah, one goal was against Barcelona.
Yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, 3-0 loss to Madrid, 2-0 loss to Sociedad, 1-0 loss to Sevilla, and then the 3-0 loss to Villarreal. So just not performing against the big teams. That's why they're in this position. They're playing terribly in games that they need to be playing better in.
Yep, and pretty much.
It's the belief they don't have it right now. They don't have the intensity. The intensity that we saw week to week is gone. It's just gone. It needs to come back for Atleti to make this run into the top four. Moving on to the Champions League for a minute. We did have the Champions League draw on Monday. Atleti drew a familiar foe in Bayer Leverkusen. A rematch of the 2014-15 round of 16, which Atleti lost the first leg 1-0, won the second leg 1-0, and won on penalties.
Well, they're kind of having similar seasons, Leverkusen and Atleti.
Yeah, they're eighth in the league, aren't they?
Yeah, decent in the league and bad in their domestic league. Yeah. So, you know.
Made it out of a difficult group. I did not expect them to make it out of that group, although that's me overrating Spurs, I think.
Everyone's sort of underrated Monaco. They look a very good team this
really
year.
Underrated Monaco side topped that group. Really, they have a lot of attacking talent there.
Yeah, they scored a ridiculous amount of goals in France this season.
I think they're averaging better than three a game. That's absurd.
Yeah.
And then you had Leverkusen finish second, Spurs third, and then CSKA Moscow finishing bottom of the group, despite being in pot one.
Standard.
So, yeah, the draw could have been worse for Atleti. It's not going to be as challenging as Manchester City or PSG. PSG-Barcelona again, that's going to be a doozy. Yawn.
Yeah, that'll be fun. But I think it was probably one of the better options Atleti could have gotten.
Really excited for PSG-Barcelona. I am not. That just needs to end right now.
Yeah, I think Barcelona will probably go through pretty well in that one. PSG are looking pretty out of sorts at the moment.
I do too. It's not as challenging as City PSG, but it's not as straightforward as I think Benfica or Porto would have been. Shorter trips, not as much quality in those teams. This is a team. Roger Schmidt has a team that has a lot of talent, technical ability in it. They play a frantic yet I think disciplined style. A lot of technical ability and quality in midfield. Chicharito has just lit the Bundesliga on fire since going there. And of course, he is the man who knocked Atletico out of the Champions League in 2015.
Yes. Who could forget when he was on loan at Real Madrid those few years ago? But yeah, Roger Schmidt's a great coach, and their high-pressing style will be an interesting challenge for Simeone and Atleti in that round of 16, so...
I think the Champions League is kind of a panacea. The quality of Atleti's performances in that competition are so much different than they are in La Liga.
Right, and their first game is until February 21st, so a lot can happen between now and then.
Yeah, there's not going to be any Oblak, although he could be somewhat close to returning then.
Right, yeah. We'll just have to hope that injury is solved quicker than maybe more on the 3 month end than the 4 month.
Yeah, much closer to 3 months. he could feasibly be ready for the second leg if know if that timeline works out. But yeah, it's not the worst draw Atleti could have gotten. And they will be strong favorites to make the last eight for the fourth year in a row, where they will probably draw Madrid.
Yeah, standard.
Or Barcelona, probably Madrid. And yeah, so the Champions League, it has to be the cure-all. It has to be the cure for all these ills. Atleti are going to go for broken it, as I think this game against Villarreal showed. There just was no intensity and no really even competitive spirit at times. And they're going to go for broke to win the Champions League.
Well, and it should be said, of course, after the midweek game against Leverkusen, they play Barcelona at home.
Yes, they do.
Very next.
Yay. So that'll be it'll be interesting to see how Cholo plays that.
Yeah.
Probably will just throw out a really strong team in both games.
Yeah, very exhausted first game.
Yeah, we'll just see what happens. Gabby was talking yesterday about the need to go back to partido a partido, that style that... that mentality, that philosophy that helped Atletico win the league in 2013-14. Do you agree with that? Do you think going back to that older philosophy is going to help?
I mean, that's what they've been trying to do for these last few weeks, and it's just not working. I mean, the goals have dried up, which is a problem, because back then you could count on a Godin header from a corner or Diego Costa to just bully everyone out of the way and score, but it's not happening at the moment. So either they need to figure out how to score in this system, or they need to change it up. I don't particularly agree with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's tough, because they have tried to go back to the old tactics, the old style, the old philosophy, the good old days, the Simeone's first years in charge. And so far it has not paid off handsomely, like not paid off at all. By handsomely, I mean not at all. And I think it's what we've talked about. It's you have to move on, and you have to find ways to evolve. And Diego Simeone may not be the manager to lead that evolution.
He may not be. He's tried twice now in 2 years to try to change the system up and sort of backed off. Sort of in the middle of the transition. So, yeah.
There was a report in El País today that the playing squad believes that Simeone is going to leave at the end of the year, or the end of this year, which is a year earlier than expected. It could possibly just be media overreaction. In fact, it likely is. But
yeah, I would say so.
Do you think Simeone leaves at the end of the year now?
I mean, this is sort of the thing we were talking about earlier about the Klopp Dortmund thing. That's what happened there. I think if it continues on this disastrous path they're currently on, it's definitely possible. And the team we expect him to go to, Internazionale, are struggling hard, so they may be desperate to get him there at the end of the season.
It's like a siren's call.
Yes, exactly. I don't think he will go, but if it goes horribly wrong, then it's a definite possibility. I wouldn't rule it out.
I'd say definite if it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
If it goes horribly wrong or incredibly right, as in winning the Champions League, then Simeone leaves. But he has stayed on message and as saying he wants to be in the new stadium. He wants to lead the team out at the Wanda Metropolitano. That is the new stadium. a stadium called Wanda.
Yes, the Wanda.
That is
the glorious Wanda.
That is from the Fairly Odd Parents. That is the new stadium.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That's terrible.
It was like the second thing I thought of other than a fish called Wanda was Wanda from the Fairly Odd Parents. That reference could be lost on a few of our listeners, but I don't think it will be lost on many. Anywho.
Surely not.
Simeone has stayed on message.
The glorious piece of American culture.
Simeone has been on message. He wants to stay and lead the team out at a stadium called Wanda. There has been some talk that, he's thinking too much about Inter. It's similar to Griezmann and the interviews he gives. It's a load of bunk. Don't believe it. Simeone is one of the most focused and intense managers in world football. He's not going to let this distract him, because he can't let it distract him. There's too much work to be done to save this season before he can worry about his next job.
Yeah, and he's done so much at Atlanta. He wouldn't just leave them in a lurch if he sort of, well, he might, you know, knowing football, anything could happen, but you wouldn't expect him to if he got them into the top four European places, something like that. Like we said, if it goes terribly wrong, then he'll probably go.
If it goes so south that, again, they finish in the bottom, you know, they finish like 8th to 10th and crash out early in the cups, then he leaves. Then I think the front office, the hierarchy knows he has to leave. And I think he will know it too. The writing is on the wall. We have not been shy about this on this program. The writing is on the wall. He knows he's leaving at some point. Everyone knows he's leaving. It would be foolish of him not to think about his future. I mean, who really takes things day by day for their entire life?
Right. You know, yeah.
In football,
he's been
in
about what he wants to do. So.
And just because he gives some interviews that says, "Well, I'm going to manage Inter someday," it doesn't mean he's not focused on Atletico, because that is his current job.
Right. Yeah. And he's done so much for this club that he wouldn't just bail.
I mean, he would leave as a hero, regardless of when he leaves. He would leave as a hero and the man who rebuilt this club. He just may not be the man to continue overseeing its evolution.
Yeah, I think so. And
yeah,
maybe with the new stadium, you know, new manager, if it goes that bad, but maybe the name will convince him to stay. Who wouldn't want to play at the Wanda?
A stadium called Wanda. What do you think of the name? It harkens to back to the Metropolitano, the stadium, the pre-Calderon stadium that Atletico left in 1966, and now the Wanda, which is a part owner of the club.
Right. I mean, it's not really surprising. Most clubs these days have a sponsored name of their stadium. I mean, it's sort of the place where the game's at, and they just sort of chucked the Metropolitano on there so people wouldn't totally freak out about it, I think.
I think they tried too hard. Personally, with the name, I think they tried way too hard. Like,
yeah,
you don't need both. I think it's unnecessary. Like, we get it. You want this to feel like home, and you want to downplay the role of the sponsor. But Wanda Metropolitano just does not roll off the tongue.
No, not at all. I thought the same. Yeah, I agree. It seems very, very trying too hard.
A stadium called Wanda, ASCW.
Yeah, is the weird in the graphical thing they released, is the weird logo next to Wanda the company logo?
I think it is. I think it is.
The circle with the thing in it.
I couldn't really tell what shape it was or what design that was. It was interesting, though.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. It's something.
At any rate, it looks like it's going to be a dope stadium. It's going to be an experience. 70,000 seats. That the exterior lighting, similar to Allianz Arena in Munich. It's going to be fire. But it's going to
look really cool. Yeah,
it looks great. But it's there's still Atleti are you know harping on this. They are for sure saying yes, we're moving in there next year. The roadways around the stadium say, "Eh, hold on."
Yeah.
They need to make this. Yeah. They need to make better access routes for this, and better roads and public transportation. So there's a lot that still needs to be solved, and the stadium isn't fully done yet.
Right, and a lot of the problems with stadium moves come from public transportation and buildings being in the way and all that, and construction always is delayed. So it's going to be a tight one if they move in there next season or not.
As is typical with this club, it's an adventure.
Yeah. Well, it'll be exciting at least.
Yeah, also last week, not just a new stadium, but a new badge. A new club badge was unveiled. Bit of a simpler, sleeker, modern design. It's all red and blue, red, white, and blue. The bear has switched positions from left to right, facing left on the old badge, now facing right on this one, and the tree, which is part of the Madrid flag, the city flag, the tree is now part of the badge rather than being a separate entity. What do you think of the badge? The new emblem.
Well, yeah, the press release said that it was more 21st century, whatever that means, but
I like the old one just fine.
Yeah, I agree. I like the old one too. But I don't know. I think the tree looks a bit weird. It's not awful. I think people are freaking out unnecessarily about it, but
there have been so many arguments and chants about the new badge. Atleti's ladies were playing at the Calderon this weekend against Barcelona. They won that game 2-1. And there were chants of, you know, don't touch the badge. Like, guys, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
There are more pressing matters than a badge that hasn't even been officially...
There are more pressing matters than the badge.
It isn't even official yet. It won't take effect until next summer.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do with sort of how the badge is incorporated. I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. It's the badge. It doesn't really make a huge difference, but I don't really like that the tree's not green anymore. I don't know why.
Yeah, they made the tree blue. It's not natural. I have a problem with that. I like it more than I initially did, but I still think it's okay. Maybe it'll continue to grow on me. I mean, this badge is just, it's classic, you know, it's great. They're replacing it with something a bit, again, sleeker, I guess more modern, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what modern means. I'm not a graphic designer.
I know several of them. Maybe I'll ask their opinion on it. But it's okay. Like, I don't hate it. That's praise.
No, yeah, it's not awful, and everyone will get used to it and get over it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so, last thing for today before we answer some questions. I'd let you play Las Palmas on Saturday, and more La Liga action, as if we don't have enough already. Week 16 against a Las Palmas side has lost only once in the last six. Thiago is probably not going to play. Felipe is not going to play. Jan Oblak, of course, is not going to play. Angel Correa is suspended, and Jose Jimenez suffered a foot injury today, so he won't play.
Well, at least the team will be interesting and new, so we'll see something different.
Alessio Cerchi might get in the squad.
Oh, no.
It is going to be lit.
It is well and truly lit, yeah.
It is well and truly lit if the Italian Stallion gallops his way into the squad. Bowl of pasta under one arm, bread under the other.
Yay, the Italian is back. But, I mean...
Bologna, help, come get him.
Yes, please. But Las Palmas have done well this season, but they've sort of been on a slide. They've drawn their last few, but that is kind of worrying
Currently 10th in the table, just 4 losses from 15, a positive goal difference, plus 3, 21 points. Just 4 points behind Atleti. So a win for Las Palmas on Saturday, they'll be just 1 point behind Atletico.
Yes. And
so pretty meaningful game for them.
Yeah, they drew against Alaves and Leganes, which is an awesome...
Which Atletico did as well, if you recall.
Yes, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get a draw. Woohoo! But
maybe.
Yeah. Not an easy game, and not at the right time.
No, definitely not at the right time with all the injuries in the squad. Atleti only have 16 players right now.
Injury crisis is heaping.
Could see some B-teamers called up for this game, like a Robert, some of the guys who played in the Copa del Rey, a win over Iquiquelo. We'll make for interesting starting. By the way, if one of the center backs get hurt, I don't know what's going to happen, because the center back depth right now is Godin and Savic, because Lucas is playing at left back because Felipe is hurt.
We may see some young boys coming into the defense. It may not be the worst thing in the world. But...
Cue the this is fine .jpg.
Yeah, exactly.
This is fine. I like it. I am enjoying the events that are unfolding.
Yeah, this isn't bad at all. A brand new defense full of youngsters. What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? So yeah, that is a Saturday game. It is Saturday at the Vicente Calderon. And I'm actually going to predict an Atletico loss here. 1-0 win for Las Palmas.
Oh, God. I'll go for a 1-1 draw. I feel like it's going to be a draw. I don't know why.
At least you have them scoring. At least you have them scoring in that one. So, we do have a few questions from at Eric Ubong. He submitted a laundry list of questions, 4 of them. We've addressed some of this, but we'll wrap them up here as we wrap up the show. Question 1, Simeone's future. I wanted to mention something else on this. There was a report from Fox Sports Argentina today saying Atletico are interested in appointing River Plate manager Marcelo Gallardo as Simeone's replacement should Cholo leave at the end of the season. Simeone's future, are you more convinced that he leaves at the end of this season rather than next season? I am slightly more convinced, but I still think he turns this around enough to where he can comfortably leave in the summer of 2018.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think unless it goes, like we said earlier, horrifically wrong, he'll be here until 2018.
Question two, should Atletico consider a formation change? I think yes, but I don't think one will be put into place.
Yeah, I don't think that's really going to happen. I think our best hope is that the core of the team, the spine, gets rotated a bit. I think that's where we could see the most change rather than with the formation.
And that's just like not really good enough. I think Atleti should play a 4-2-3-1, which I've been thinking could be a good alternate formation for them for a few years now, but hasn't been done. Or a 4-1-4-1, which they played a bit towards the end of last season. In a 4-2-3-1, you have Gamero or Torres up top. You can drop Griezmann to a wing where he can be a bit more creative or cut inside and finish. I'm a little hesitant when having Griezmann play up top. Up top alone, isolated. I think he needs someone to play off of. That's why I'd rather have him drop to the wing if you're going to play in a one-striker formation. But I would certainly advocate for a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-1-4-1.
Yeah, we saw in the Euros that he worked quite well with Giroud up front in a sort of two-striker formation, him sitting just behind a bigger man to support him. So that could work with maybe a Torres-type situation.
Worked last season. Don't really know if it would work again, but at this point it's worth a shot.
Yeah, might as well.
And even in the Champions League, you don't want these performances to leak into the one competition at one out of possibly two competitions at Leti you still have a fighting chance in.
Yeah, you should test it out in the league, and then we can use it in the Champions League if it works.
Yeah, and you can drop Gabby as a single pivot in front of the back four and have some more creative midfielders. Or you can drop Saul there. Saul played really well in that role as a single pivot in a 4-1-4-1 last year.
Yeah, I think Saul's going to be pretty important for the second half of the season if he can get his form going, because that's been the main problem for this first half, is he's just been totally out of form. But that will come back around, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Question three, why are Atletico not scoring? It's in part because of the formation and in part because players are out of form or not starting, hint, hint, Correa.
Yes, yes.
Carrasco, right.
Now, no, Thiago, maybe we will score. Maybe.
Well, we're not going to see Thiago for a while, I don't think. Yeah, it's down to the going away from the attacking tactics and more towards these more reductive tactics with really talented players, asking them to, do unnatural things. It's more natural for players like Carrasco and Griezmann and Camero to use their pace, their dynamism, and score goals and play more freer flowing football, and they're not being allowed to do that right now. Question four, what's happened to Griezmann? We've kind of addressed this. Lots of fatigue, and I think he's starting to suffer under the weight of these more productive tactics. He's not getting free in counterattacks as much, and he's being asked to do more playmaking rather than shooting and scoring. It needs to be the other way around.
Yep, and he's been pretty isolated so far. He needs some support from the wings and the midfield and from his fellow striker. Strike partner, whoever that may be.
Indeed, whoever that might be. So that will just about do it for us on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. Remember to like us on Facebook, and we are on iTunes and Stitcher. Subscribe, listen to all new and archived episodes, leave a rating and a review if you would be so kind. We'd greatly appreciate it. You can follow my personal Twitter at JB Barron. You can follow Robert at Trappin, TRAUPPIN, and we will be back post Las Palmas game to analyze whatever happens there. Hopefully an Atletico win. We'll see, though. Until next time, ciao.
Goodbye.
Alrighty.
All right,
this will be